You are listening to the Sci Fidelity Podcast, episode 77, Closing the Loop. The Sci Fidelity Podcast contains adult language and mature content. So, if you don't want to hear about time travelers traveling through time, maybe dropping some sperm here or there, perhaps you don't want to have your kids listen.
Jason that actually was complaining about that. You know, Jason. I don't know why I said that like you guys have never met Jason.
Well, like, you know, Jason?
Actually, I bring
Jay Jason?
I bring that up. Actually, fuck it. You listen to the Sci Fidelity Podcast. This is Michael.
This is Patrick.
This is Steve.
This is Brian.
So the reason that I did that was because Jason has actually been the friend I just mentioned right before I did that. Has actually been listening to the podcast a lot lately.
Hi, Jason.
Hey.
So we love you, Jason.
He was looking for something to listen to. As one of my best friends, I think it's bullshit that it took him to get to this point to listen to the podcast.
You know
but
how
he's
it
been
is.
Listening to something. He's been needing a podcast to listen to at work.
Oh, I see.
Through.
Yeah.
So we're here to cuddle his ear while he's sleeping.
While he's bored at work.
It's good to know that we are safe for work.
With headphones.
He's not putting him on a speaker system.
With headphones.
With headphones, we are safe for work. Wow. Yeah.
Although, hopefully it creates a snot rocket situation we have to be careful about.
He was telling me about old episodes where you guys were informing me about Cabin in the Woods, and I was like, "That I don't remember that, but you listened to a recording, so I guess that happened."
You got podcast amnesia, huh?
Oh, dude, I don't remember these podcasts like 6 days after we recorded them. Wait. Super Fight? What's that shit? I don't know what you're talking about.
What?
I remember something about hobos.
Turkey leg defense?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that bullshit. What the fuck's wrong with you people?
I would say that sounds stupid. No, but so he's been listening to the podcast. So one, I wanted to give him a shout out. He's been listening to it from the beginning, so he should be hearing the shout out in about 3 years. but
we hope you have found the dream job and the woman of your dreams, and you're married and you've got lots of children, and it's all awesome.
Yeah,
I don't hope that.
Because it's been 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
I don't hope that. That's... I hope he has a fond memory of getting all those things.
That's a fucking lofty goal to have a perfect wife, perfect job, and a shit ton of kids in 3 years.
Yeah,
3 years.
Yeah, it's like, Jason, you can do it. You can do it, Jason.
Oh, well, look, I'm not saying
you did it.
I'm not saying Jason's not a player.
All right, I'm just saying to have found the perfect job, wedding, and to have a shit ton of kids. Some of that shit happened in the wrong order.
Now we're getting into his business.
I'm sorry. Different order. I don't want to say wrong order.
Yeah, we know what you meant.
He married the Octomom. Whatever, that happens.
Oh, that's true. You could marry somebody that already has kids.
He just spit a shitload. Oh, no. That's all
81.
His. That's all his jizz. It's just like, just bam.
Oh, God damn. We just talking about Jason's jizz just now?
Yes. Oh, God. Oh. Can we move past this, please?
Only Jason. If we could go back in time,
Jason,
and undo.
Well, we 3 years in Jason's years. Future.
So,
Jason, is there any messages you want us to take back to your younger
Jason.
Self?
Skeet, skeet, skeet.
I don't want to be on this podcast anymore.
My brain just did the skeet, 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 skeet giant.
Okay, listen to the ads, too.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. I'm sorry. So, anyway, I don't know if Jason wants me to go back to talking about him at this point, but we were having a conversation recently where we were talking about a bunch of sci-fi things. Real quick, we also brought up, I'm sure he doesn't want me to mention this, but we also brought up.
So the, I'll do it anyway.
I'll do it anyway. Fuck him.
Fuck him.
It's he been may three be my years. Best friend, but yeah, it's been 3 years. He's not going to remember this.
He's going to think we're making it up. He's like, 3 years. What are you talking about? That didn't happen.
I wouldn't even discuss that.
Heck, yeah, yeah.
So tell me about this guy that used to be your friend.
Yeah, this guy who used to be your friend.
He brought up the trailer for the movie Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking about how he is kind of hesitant about seeing it because, and this was something we had both just recently separately discovered was a false statement. The human beings only use 10% of your brain.
Right.
And we both recently, I think it's funny that we both just happened to recently discover this separately, that was actually just a misinterpretation of the person who originally said we only know what 10% of the brain does, and that got misinterpreted to humans only use 10% right. of the brain.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big fuck up right there.
That is a pretty big fuck up, but that is what happened. Mm-hmm. So he saw that trailer, and now knowing that, he has a problem with the movie, and I'm like, okay, one, you just recently found that out, and two, hey. You're about to go see a movie in which someone was pumped full of super steroids and then frozen in the ice for 70 years and then breaks up and is perfectly fine and you have zero problems with that.
Yeah, he had no problems with Luke being really well connected and fully believing in a religion he only found out about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like you were more than picking a nit here.
You hear that, Jason? You wrong.
You hear that? 3 years from now, Jason. You were wrong 3 years ago. Anyway, the other thing that came up in that conversation that I thought you guys would find interesting was we got into a rather interesting debate about whether or not there is or isn't a giant plot hole in the whole basic premise of the movie Looper. Now, we all know the plot of Looper, or I think we all know the plot of Looper, but if you don't, I'll happily recap. There is a future in which time travel hasn't yet been invented, but in their future, time travel has been invented, and the mafia, or a form of mafia, will send people back in time to hitmen that live now, well, in that now. It gets very, it's weird.
I think you're fucking this up.
Yeah, I am kind of fucking this up. It'd be nice if I had some years.
You want me to do that?
You
want to
do this? Yeah. What you
doing? So in the far future, when the mob needs to kill somebody, they send them 30 years back in time.
To the near future.
No, see, you're making it complicated right
there. I'm making it complicated.
They send them 30 years back in time where hitmen there will kill them, which isn't really that hard because they appear in front of them, they get shot, and then they bury the bodies.
Right.
Because
they burn the bodies.
Because I have to say, a third of the way into this movie, I immediately thought, paraphrase that Douglas Adams quote, you have a time machine and you use it for hiding bodies. That's the best thing you can think. You can travel through time and you're hiding bodies with it.
If they can travel. All they can do is go 30 years back. I don't know. I don't think it's bi-directional.
You know, Brian, we don't know everything they use the time machine for. We know they're using the time machine to solve this one particular problem.
We don't know what else they're using.
Yeah, well, I just thought we could at least touch on
that. So now this is when you explain about what loopers are.
Yes. Okay. So the looper is the hitman, right? So what happens is at some point in their future, their future self. So you're 20 years now. People show up in front of you, you shoot them, you bury them, you have a nice living doing this. At some point, your future self, your 50-year-old self is going to pop up in front of you, and you have to kill that person. Mm-hmm. And when you kill that person, that's called closing your loop, right. And then you're done. You don't, your contract is over, they give you a crap ton of money, off you go. Enjoy your life, right? With the knowledge that 30 years from that point, they're going to find you and send you back to be murdered.
I think this is an actual plot hole that actually came up, but it's not as fun a plot hole to explain. It's to debate is this would go a whole lot smoother if they didn't send you back to you.
Well, yes.
If they just got another assassin.
I can tell you, I can raise the ante. Instead of doing all this Dr. Evil stuff, kill the body, then send him back in time.
Well, yeah. Well, no. My thing is
that's
this.
That's pretty fair, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty fair, too. I'm actually okay with sending someone back.
Terminator 2 time travel rules.
They never
only living flesh can go. Done.
You kill them quick before the cells can die.
No, yeah, but they're not showing up naked.
I will say this.
Yeah. They're taking money back in time.
Right.
So I will.
They generate a field with their biofield.
Yeah, you buy a bunch of hamsters, put them in a bag. The hamsters biofield keeps everything.
Do you understand
okay.
how you this go. Works? This is the only way I can enjoy sci-fi is if it makes sense.
What we're doing,
I gotta make my own
is
sense.
Is making sure that the island of wrongness where Patrick
the
lives.
The island of wrongness. Oh, Steve.
Is surrounded completely.
When I finish you in this duel of the minds,
Hold on. The only thing that I'm saying is.
So sweet.
I think it would be so much easier and less psychologically damaged and thus likely more successful.
Yeah.
These guys are already willing to just shoot someone that gets sent back in time. So why not send a future self to another looper who has already shown he's perfectly fine
because,
shooting a random person?
Well, there's a reason.
Because they're
there's
not smart
reason.
Enough to figure out they can kill the guy before they send him back in time and simplify everything. Just hide the body for me. That's
Knowing
all you have to do.
That the guy closed the loop gives them every assurance
That's
that
true.
This guy is in.
Actually,
he's committed.
Yeah.
Actually, the movie does actually explain. When you close your loop, that is your retirement.
Yes.
That is when you know you're... So actually, the movie does answer that question.
Yes.
Not my question, but yeah, your question.
It doesn't answer your
yes.
question.
Yes, your question is a lot better.
Okay. So...
So anyway, yeah. In the movie, Bruce Willis plays an older version of Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yes.
And in the movie, they show a scenario in which Bruce Willis is sent back in time and Joseph Gordon-Levitt kills Bruce Willis. And then he goes on to live his life and basically become Bruce Willis. Now, his future life is shown that he goes through addiction problems and things like that. Because when they send you back in time, they send you with money attached to your body. And when you close your loop, you're sent with a lot more money. So he's able to retire at this point and just live off the money that he sent by closing his loop. And he goes on and he lives his life. And in his future, where he becomes, Levitt becomes Willis, he lives a life of addiction, all this. It's financially, it's good, but I guess morally, it's bankrupt.
No. He ran out of cash. Okay. So he spent all his money on drugs such that he hooks up with some people and tries to rob a bank, and that doesn't go so well. And so now he's strung out. He's trying to rehab. This woman, he meets this woman. He falls in love with this woman. This woman kind of
cleans him up.
She cleans him up, makes him pretty, marries him. And then, unfortunately, this is when the 30-year timer hits. And one morning, because he has to be sent back in time in order to make this time travel, paradox loop not happen or whatever. And so they come. I guess he didn't tell the girl that he was a looper, so she doesn't know that when, two guys show up in suits looking for him, that she should just say, oh, yeah, he's in the back. So they kill her looking for him, and he's so in love with
this
woman.
But I thought killing people in the future was bad and easily traced, so much so that even if you're going to dump the body back
accidental.
In time. Was it? Brian, okay.
Brian, this is not to talk shit about the whole movie, okay? It's just one small plot hole. You keep your shit to yourself. Okay.
Yeah,
that means I'm not prepared to argue it.
Especially for a movie that you have said you like.
I did like it. I didn't love it. I did like it.
I liked it as well, but yeah. I'm still prepared to rip this movie a new asshole.
Okay, well, look, all right. If we're going to pick nits on every fucking thing in every movie, well, get some coffee,
we're
boys.
Not. Just this one.
Just this one.
Yeah.
Just that part right
yeah.
now.
Yeah,
okay,
we,
whatever.
We
fine.
Can do that shit for days.
Yeah, well, indeed. Okay, so anywho. Okay. Steve thinks he's won. So the wife gets killed. Bruce Willis, being Bruce Willis, he remembers Nakatomi Plaza.
Damn right he does.
He says, well, fuck that, all right? I was ready for you to kill me, but that woman was the nicest woman known to man, and the fact that y'all killed her, obviously by righteous vengeance must be called down upon thee. So he kills the guys that have come to send him back to be murdered, and then he jumps in the time machine
to go back in time.
And goes back in time.
And here's where we're getting to the crux of whether or not there is, in fact, a paradox in the basic premise of this movie.
Because Bruce Willis's plot is, okay, I know the guy that runs the syndicate, so I want to find him, kill him, so that the whole...
His younger version.
The whole...
Yeah.
Well, it's obvious. It's 30 years in the past.
Yeah.
So the whole... He jumped in the time machine. He obviously doesn't want to kill the original guy.
Just trying to make it clear for the audience. Okay.
Well,
that's all.
Well, we skipped one element. He goes back in time... Doesn't immediately get shot.
Well, that's what I'm getting to, right?
Oh, okay.
So his plan is, not that I need to get to it now, you just spoil it, but he's going back in time to kill that guy before he rises to power. So what he does is the money that they were going to send to his younger self, he basically erased that like a shield, because the younger self only has a shotgun, like it's a blunderbuss.
Right.
Which they give him because obviously they're too stupid to aim. So you just point it in the general direction of what you want dead, and it happens. So because Bruce Willis knows what's going to happen, he shows up, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, his younger self, shoots him, the bullets bounce off of all this gold that's on his body, and then he uses that, you know, moment of confusion to beat the shit out of Joseph Gordon-Levitt and then go off to try and, you know, do his plan.
So the basic crux of whether or not there's a paradox in the whole premise of the movie
is,
doesn't Bruce Willis's timeline basically just evaporate the second he survives not dying there? Because his whole future is based on him dying at that moment.
No.
Yeah.
His whole future is based on Joseph Gordon-Levitt surviving.
Yeah, but the specific chain of events would be disrupted.
Yeah, the chain of events that led to him coming back in time and being able to be there to change time is disrupted by the fact that he didn't die there.
But the only... Okay. So this argument relies on the elasticity of time theory, which basically says... The minutia of the day-to-day existence does not really affect the destiny.
Minutia, you mean whether or not you kill your older self.
No. No.
Wow. That was such a dick statement.
Well, it's Brian, right?
I think that, well, it applies to all four of us.
Can't deny that, can I?
So, to elaborate, right? Whether I go to the fridge and I pick out a Coke or I pick out a Dr. Pepper, that doesn't change the fact that I'm going to get in my car and drive somewhere and maybe get hit by a bus, right? So really, what you have to do is, what are the milestones? There are certain, as Doctor Who, what are the fixed points in time? Right. What events happen?
Call nexus points.
Whatever, Brian. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So what are those things? And so for Bruce Willis to be sent back in time, I think there's four things. I'm counting it up right now, so maybe I'm wrong. So basically, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has to survive the 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
He has to get married. Or at least be sufficiently in love with someone that...
The specific person.
No, it doesn't have to be the specific
person. Well, somebody who dies.
It has to be in love with someone that he cares enough about that their death will cause him to go on a fucking diehard vengeance spree. And that, you know, then that this person would be killed when they come. So, consequently, someone that he would not tell that he used to be a contract killer... For time traveling mafia, right?
Right.
And then he has to go back in time, right?
Right.
So now we know that they're gonna come for him. I mean, that's a given. That's the whole system is set up that 30 years from now, we don't lose track of you, you know, unless you become a Buddhist monk up in the Himalayas someplace.
Right.
We're gonna find you, we're gonna come for you, right? Him getting married, you know, whatever, okay, that's fairly plausible. The fact that he might not tell her, you know, he seemed to be fairly I don't know, ashamed of what he did. Also, him being a drug addict, which wouldn't change because he's a drug addict in the present timeline.
No, fair enough.
So, you know, so that's probably a given. So as long as those like four things happen, you will have a Bruce Willis in the same timeline as a Joseph Gordon-Levitt, a Bruce Willis who is prepared to not get shot.
So, couple things. One,
bring it.
The first thing that I'm going to say to that is, one, for any of that to happen, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has to survive.
Yes.
Which becomes much more precarious when he doesn't close his loop. The movie has already shown not closing your loop. The mafia doesn't feel too happy about that.
Yeah.
So, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has to still survive to get to be Bruce Willis's age, which is highly in question at this point. Secondly,
may I rebut that point?
Hold on. I made a point.
Let him finish what he's saying.
I let you go on for a
he's
while
on a different point.
With the person thing. No, yeah, I'm addressing all four of your things points. That you just said.
That was all one point.
No, there was four
wasn't.
Points.
There
was
four things.
Carry on, carry on.
No,
we're not arguing whether or not we're arguing.
The four points were the subsets of the one point.
I allowed you to say your whole point.
Do your thing. Allow me to say.
All right, go.
The other thing is, Bruce Willis comes back in time with the set of events that sent him back in time. These now set of events are now completely different. The question is actually, if he is not allowed to retire because he didn't die, how does he live a life that's even remotely similar to the one? How does his whole timeline not just disappear at that point?
So I have an answer for this.
Well, hold on. I actually got... Wait. No, that's good. That's
okay.
So those were my two basic
points.
Steve wants to rebut.
No, those were my two basic points.
Okay.
That it matters what perspective we're viewing these events from.
Okay.
Because you can take the perception that this movie is shot from the timeline of the result of him not dying by his own hand and not completing the loop.
Okay.
So what happened? What led him to getting sent back?
I think he's jumping ship.
It may have gotten changed because they don't really indicate in the movie other than the connection, right?
Well, they do make a big deal about, he makes a big deal about trying to save his future wife when he comes back. And then that whole plot line kind of disappears in the last third of the film, like almost like it didn't happen anymore.
You could make the argument that the whole future wife thing didn't happen now because he doesn't remember it, because obviously that life can't have happened now.
Right. So
again, I'd actually
so that
also
that
like,
leads nicely into what I'm saying, where if we're seeing the result of this time shift, this timeline split. Mm-hmm. Which is partly what your theory requires, right?
Well, my question is, actually, it's not a theory, it's a question. My question is basically, is this a paradox?
Right. So in order, because the concrete example of the paradox is the grandparents, right? You go back in time and you kill your grandparents before, like when they're children and haven't had a chance to have kids.
Right.
Unless
well,
your name is Philip J. Fry.
Then?
Yeah.
At which point you can do that.
At which you become your own grandparent.
Right. So... because that creates a time paradox.
Right.
So what our question now, or your question is...
My question is there a time paradox?
So I can see it both ways. Mm-hmm. I can see how him not getting shot means that the course of events that led him to being sent back couldn't occur the way we think it did. But the question is, did we see what happened as a result of him not getting shot, or did we see what happened as a result of him getting shot?
Here's what I'm going to say.
Well, with the video, the flashback thing where they, you know, show a little clip shows montage of his life was clearly built on he did get shot.
Here's what I'm
going to
say.
Well, he got the reward.
Yeah. But No, they actually showed. They did show it.
Yeah.
He shot it. The flashback was, I shot this guy. They gave me my money. I got high on... I'm thinking it's Kef. I don't know why that is, but whatever. I got high on whatever this drug is.
Death sticks?
Yeah, death sticks. And went through his whole thing. So, go ahead.
Here's my thought on this. Because I don't actually have like a dog in this fight. I'm Michael Vick all of a sudden. I think I fucked up that saying and I decided to just go dark with it.
I will just say a lot of evil. Those dogs that they rescued have found nice, happy homes, and they're living quite happy lives now.
Some of them have found shallow graves.
this must be something you only know about if you watch the news.
From a long time ago. So anyway, my fight isn't to say this is a paradox or not. I'm just trying to figure out whether or not this is a paradox. Yeah. So I have a theory that could make the whole movie totally possible. As it is, it's just not directly stated in the movie. Okay. They could just be following the X-Men philosophy of time travel, which is the second he went back in time and changed something, we're just in a completely different timeline. Yeah, that first timeline totally happened, and you need that first timeline to come back in time and offshoot to a different timeline.
The issue with that is they do keep the then there wouldn't be any feedback on the time traveler. The time traveler wouldn't be able to be affected if the younger guy, his younger version, gets his hand cut off. The older version who came back in time, he came from a whole nother timeline. It doesn't affect him.
There's
like this kind of Marty McFly leakage whereby stuff slowly, bit by bit, little bits bleed through both physically and memory-wise into it.
The problem is we have so many different time travel theories to work with because there's no such thing as time travel, and we don't really understand the nature of time. So we've got Terminator theories. Yeah. We've got Back to the Future. Yeah. I just brought up fucking X-Men.
Well, I mean, whatever it is,
we haven't even said Doctor Who yet.
His body stays in the same spot. Old Bruce Willis is not suddenly disappearing and reappearing over there or over there. Yet his clothes don't change. So his body stays where it is, but his memories and even physicality can change depending on what he interferes with in his younger self.
Which is the logic introduced by this movie.
Yes.
Which means that they're connected.
They're connected, but they're not directly connected, because if they were directly connected, he'd be changing all sorts of stuff, not just whether or not he's got all his fingers and whether he's got his memory. He'd be standing in different places, because every time he makes a change, it loops back around and makes a change here and makes a change.
Right.
You have to accept the
butterfly effect, right?
Very specific, odd, kind of non-intuitive version of the butterfly effect. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. But so these small changes can cascade into bigger changes.
I'm just gonna say two words. That theory that you're using is inelastic time theory.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So it's very similar
to what they have in Back to the Future. Marty doesn't disappear when he breaks up the meeting. He disappears when the kiss almost doesn't happen. Why? The writer said so.
And that's the one thing that we have to accept is that a lot of this is just based on what the writers are saying happens.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to say is, if they are connected, doesn't the connection basically say the second that there's a change to their timeline, their timeline is just wiped out? Something different should occur.
Only if time is inelastic. If it's elastic, then it's only the high points. It's not whether he goes left or he goes right, and that completely makes a brand new future version of him, because those things are relatively inconsequential to the destiny of his time stream.
Isn't that a major point? Him killing himself? I mean, not just the fact that he kills himself, but the fact that That is the stepping off point to leading to what Bruce Willis's life was. His entire life is based on that event happening.
Of course, now there's the other option.
Yeah, well, that's why I feel like there's the option of more like some sort of slow contamination rather than a direct, you know, I did this so that happens.
Well, you saying time takes time?
I don't know.
It's the only way you could have a movie. If time didn't take time, it would be instant.
This ain't espresso. This is slow drip.
There's the hybrid multiverse theory, right? So that is
I just wanted to throw some big words out.
Okay, fine.
No, hybrid multiverse.
I don't
the
know.
Almost walking helix continuum?
I don't know of a simpler way to
put it. If you didn't hear the last episode, 76, that was the title. That was a good callback. Go back and listen to episode 76. You can find out why we named an episode like that.
Yeah.
But please, go ahead, Patrick.
Okay, so two different theories are it's one time stream and, you know, everything that happens, like, Back to the Future, it all trickles through in the same time stream, unless it's Back to the Future 2, in which it offshoots. But whatever, it's fine. But then there's the multiverse where you're never actually traveling within your own time stream, so you can kill your grandfather and fuck your grandmother. Who gives a shit? It's not you. Or there is the hybrid or the collapsing multiverse where you travel through time that splits off another universe that syncs up temporally with the first universe, but then over time, like over some sort of fifth dimensional dimension, those recoalesce and all of those, everything merges back together. And so you end up with the ability to not have an instantaneous paradox, but you still have this connection from your future self does to your past self.
In this hybrid collapsing multiverse, writers can get away with fucking anything.
Yes,
because they don't have to explain anything.
That's pretty much what it is.
By the way, I just want to point out that you brought up the fifth dimension, which I believe is Mixie at Spitlick.
Still fixes him.
So I'm pretty sure that's what that is.
Yeah, well, no, the issue in my own thoughts on this idea of having universes where time is elastic, it always seems to be just the right elasticity to get the story to work, which ends up, and to some degree all stories have this, even non-sci-fi stories, heavily, in order for this to actually work, there has to be some sort of time force out there that resists, like a resistance to your that stretches. But the way these time forces often seems to work, it seems to orbit around people and specific events in a somewhat arbitrary fashion. So you end up having to conclude that there must be some sort of god, like the writer, shoving things around a bit. It's the only way you can rationalize the alternate universes in Star Trek, where everything is different, yet all the same people are running around in the exact same places.
I've actually thought about that before, where people were like, oh, he went back in time and everything was different. No, because the same people are running around. If you go back in time to like the 1820s, you wouldn't have the same people anymore.
Yeah.
It would be completely different people by the time you got to present time.
Yes. Unless, if you have an infinite number of universes, then in theory, there's one universe out there. It might not be the most probable, but there is one universe where all the same people are there, except they all have goatees.
I think we just went into the Douglas Adams theory of time travel.
That, you know, there's that too.
Yes.
Now you could say, argue that it's not necessarily God.
No,
that is directing.
Yeah, it could be Q or something restructuring things in Star Trek. That's what they do.
Or since quantum results only occur when they are observed, then perhaps you need a person to observe them in order for to collapse them, which is why it revolves around people and not
major
trees.
Bullshit.
Well, there is actually, if you take the idea, which is admittedly on the fringe of science, the quantum phenomenon need a sapient observation to crystallize them. Different sapiences would crystallize things.
You know what's in my
things.
Mind right now?
I just want to say
the movie Jurassic Park.
Let me finish.
The giant pile of shit that they found.
Hold on, let me finish my piece, then you can piss all over.
All right,
okay?
All right.
So
that's how this works.
So if, and this is actually a fringe science belief, that it takes a sapient consciousness to crystallize quantum waveforms, if each sapience is slightly different.
I can hear audiences
then different universes are going to have a certain similarity based on if they have the same type of people in them. So the universe, so there could be some sort of resonance or connection between universes that have the same type of people. So on some sort of fifth dimensional level, the universe with Spock with a goatee and Sisko with a goatee and Dax with a goatee and Quark with a goatee might actually be close to the Sisko, Quark, Dax universe that where they don't wear goatees because they're crystallizing events in a similar way. So there's, if you really don't want to have a supreme being like you running around fixing these things, you can just barely get by without it if you use this bullshit science.
Let me ask you guys a very important question. When you guys get into arguments with your wives about why you didn't lower the toilet seat, does quantum mechanics come into that?
It wouldn't be an issue if you didn't see the toilet seat was down. Would still be a toilet, functional in every way.
I have been known to say, well, the problem was that if I lowered the toilet seat in this universe, that would create another universe where I did not lower the toilet seat, and I felt like I should do something nice for that other wife.
So how is the divorce going?
That's the same reason
I don't think your wife cares about other wives.
All I'm going to say is this. I don't have arguments about the toilet seat. Look your ass down and see if the fucking seat's up if you don't want to get your ass wet.
I'm just saying.
You have to look to see if it's down.
The levels at which we are taking this discussion is kind of crazy. We are literally at least two dimensions beyond where I thought we were going to go.
Ladies and gentlemen, what you need to do is tell your friends about this show because this shit happened. Okay?
All I'm going to say about suspension of disbelief is if you're going to embrace your suspension of disbelief, what the movie has done, that exists. So what we have to do, this is like real science. The shit happened, right? The universe is expanding. Shouldn't. Gravity should be pulling us all together. But the shit's throwing out there. So what we have to do is try to figure out what the circumstances are where that shit actually would happen. So sometimes, you know, you gotta write some new equations to make the shit work. So whatever.
So what do you do in the scenario where something was just written badly? I'm not saying Looper was. Awesome movie. I loved Looper. I'm talking about what do you do in the sci-fi movie that was just written
I know what he does.
No.
I know what he does. He concocts a hybrid multiverse.
Fifth dimensional.
I like how all of a sudden.
In order to.
Not
in
probably
order
not
to
all of a sudden. How I'm just full of shit because what? Steven like my answer.
Okay. It's not a matter of me liking it. I'm just pointing out that this is what
I kind of
got
to say.
We have been doing this show for 75, 76 episodes now.
This is episode 77, by the way.
I have to say, here's the thing.
I'm sorry, Brian, I cut you off.
I never thought I would actually say, I'm going to have to side with Patrick on this one. I think that, if you're going to try to think about a show, then you owe it to the episode, the movie, the whatever, to try to rationalize it as much as possible.
Here's
if you're going to try to take
Here's
it apart.
I can enjoy a show and recognize that sometimes the writers just
enjoy and take it apart and go into detail are two different things.
No, but what I'm
it's
saying
very
is
possible.
I don't have to give an explanation for something that doesn't make sense if the explanation really is just the writer didn't think that one through.
the poorly written is when it's obvious that they have fucked up. If someone says, well, I hopped in my Volkswagen Beetle and I drove to the moon, all right. That's poorly written.
We don't have to have that exaggerated.
We all know that Volkswagen Beetles that come from the factory can't drive to the fucking moon.
No, they can fly. It's just that particular operation wasn't, you know, fully functional at that moment.
They only fly if they have Herbie the Love Bug's soul in them and they've got that stripe painted on them. Yeah. Otherwise.
Yeah. By the way, we're going to have to do a whole other episode about how the fuck Herbie is a living creature. and whether or not
he honks and he raises his hood when people talk to him.
Whether or not Herbie has a soul.
I think the real question is he sapient? He's clearly sentient, but is he sapient?
Exactly.
Does he think, therefore, he is? I love that. If Herbie wrecks
and is totaled, does Herbie go to heaven? That's my question.
Now, Herbie can disassemble himself and put himself. He's immortal.
He's the director DVD sequel.
He's kind of like Wolverine. He can heal himself.
Here's a better question. If Herbie is totaled and they reassemble Herbie, is it the same Herbie?
No, it's different. It's like Frankenstein's monster. It's just a whole bunch of different random pieces from people, and then it goes,
it's Herbie
bad.
With schizophrenia.
You are blowing my mind right now.
Well, it's a schizophrenic Herbie.
The human body swaps out all of its cells every 2 years, except for the bones, which take 7. Stop so it, you aren't even the same
Brian,
person you were 2 years ago.
Stop it with that science. Stop it. So to finish my point about the bad writing. So the bad writing is you have established these rules, they're concrete enough, and then you break them, right? So having a factory car fly to the moon, that breaks them, right? Mm-hmm. However, they didn't go into this very long treatise about how time travel works. In fact, the guy, Bruce Willis, he's talking to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, says, No, I know what you're going to ask me. You're going to ask me all this time travel shit. Don't ask me about that. I don't fucking know. The writers of the movie purposefully did not lay out these rules. And so it's not poorly written because we don't understand. We don't know what the rules are, right? So what we're doing is just trying to back calculate what these rules must be in order for this universe to exist.
Which is a perfectly fun game as long as you enjoy it.
I was actually
as long as you get pissed off like a bunch of people.
I have actually said in numerous occasions, I'm perfectly fine just leaving shit vague. Problems happen when you outright state something and then contradict it. Yeah. If you don't want to contradict something, just don't explain it.
So the question of is this a paradox? Is this a paradox in Looper? Mm-hmm. Is still unanswered.
It's obviously not a paradox.
You progresses.
No. It's obviously not a paradox because the concept that the writer just didn't think it through is an option for me.
Well, I think that they intentionally avoided it.
Yeah.
You know, in the case of the movie, they can make happen whatever they want to happen.
Yeah. Well, you can explain it away, but the type of forces you need to rationalize it require almost inserting some sort of deus ex machina god figure into it, the writer. And so on a philosophical level, you have to decide, is that cheating or not? Is that a paradox if you need a god to fix it?
Nope. Collapsing quantum waveforms.
So. You need...
threw that shit out.
What you should do...
By the way, I think we should title this episode Collapsing Quantum Waveforms.
Is send us your ideas. We'd like to hear what you have to think and jump in on the debate. You can do that at our website. Well, you can't really do it at our website. But from our website, which is scifishow.net, you can get to all of the places to reach us. We have a feedback email, feedback@scifishow.net. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/scifishow. We're on Twitter @scifishow. We're on Google+ at gplus.to/scifishow. And that way we can all participate in arguing about shit that ultimately doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
Not at all. Because we all kind of like the movie, right?
Yeah. It's a good movie. Looper was amazing.
But you just got to come along and ask some kind of question. You all fight with each other and then friendships.
If it's 30 years in the future and you're listening to these archived podcasts.
Or three years in the future, you can travel back
to April 12th and tell us, as soon as we're done recording, exactly what you thought of this episode.
I'm just going to say, clearly, we argue about things that don't matter. If you need a point, origin stories, or is Star Wars a fantasy? these are arguments that come up all the goddamn time.
I am going to point out that we obviously haven't invented time travel 30 years from now because no one has shown up to tell us that we were wrong. So,
No, it was after the podcast recording is over.
Why you gotta send him to my house, Brian?
Huh?
Why you gotta send him to my house?
No, you want a time traveler to come visit you?
I sure don't want him at my house.
You know what I don't want to see?
I
don't want to see 65-year-old Michael. I really don't.
Oh, that's so sad. I don't want to see.
I want to see 65-year-old Steve because that means I made it.
Valid point. Valid point. Yeah. No. You made it to 65 in that timeline. For all you know, you showed up.
Yeah, let's not rehash this, some bitch.
You showed up.
Until next time, I'm present day Steve.
You know what? I'm future Michael.
I'm elastic time Patrick.
And this is Brian. That scene where all the body parts were getting disappearing? That was fucked up, man.